everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 470. I am your host, Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel. And joining me this week is the guy you're really all here to see, let's be honest. The door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Mark. I believe Eric is taking special beard classes, so he had to miss out this week. He's extremely dedicated to winning the beard competition. Something tells me the competition's fierce.
He strained a chin muscle doing beard ups. It's kind of an ugly story, but it's what happened.
Oh, I'm never going to get that image out of my head. How has your week been? Good?
Long and tiring. I'm exhausted, but that's the price of being a dad, I think it is.
I absolutely agree, and I'll say I thank you very much, because I know basically this entire month you're taking a live hiatus from your show, Geek Rant, but you're basically pre-recorded stuff, so you coming out to this is definitely appreciated.
I'm on vacation, as Forrest Gump would say. Actually, it was one of the hosts is traveling out of the country, and with the beauty of Skype, you can have a conversation out of the country, but I know you've done it, and I've done it. The lag is unbearable, so we just decided not to even try.
That, and I'm sure the sleep deprivation, jet lag, extreme difference in time zone also would not be conducive.
And so, we just took a break, but recorded stuff so that we wouldn't actually take a break. And maybe we should try that sometime, Dor.
I'm not going to lie. Yes. But I don't know when I have the time to do it.
That's the thing. You got to find the time to record so that you can have the time to not record.
Yeah. Cause technically right now I'm supposed to be recording. The schedule set forth is Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. And I just got propositioned today to do another show. That sounds like a lot of fun. So,
yeah, for a while I was doing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday recordings. So I feel your pain.
Yeah, but it's fun, and it's a good distraction, I say. Good stuff. Do you have any new Android hardware, or is there any hardware on the horizon that is tickling your fancy?
Still looking at a phone for my middlest child. And I got to say, we had a listener, if you're in the Android App Addicts Google Plus community, there was a conversation there from Ivor, I believe was his name, recommended a phone that looks pretty good. The Zenfone 3, 2, one of those. Anyway.
The 3 Zoom.
Zoom, that's it. And it looked good, but honestly, I think I'm just going to end up going with the Moto G. It's kind of the sweet spot for first phone right now.
Well, and I'll say that one is definitely more expensive than the Moto G. The Moto G is polished. This is like the fifth generation of them, I think. Fourth or fifth. Yeah, and I mean, they just do good work. Everybody I know who has had one, the only time they say anything bad about it is after multiple years of wear and tear. And then they're like, and it isn't that they're, it is acting poorly. It's just that they're getting tired of it.
Right. And you can pick them up for $150.
Yeah, can't beat that. I mean, for people who even want standalone music players when they exercise, to me, that's the one to get. And you can go on Swappa if you want, and you can get a used one for like 120 to from anywhere from 80 to like $120, and you get a great performing device.
So I still got another month to make that decision, but that's probably where I'm looking at right now.
Gotcha.
Still advertising, by the way, Moto watches on the Motorola website, but you can't actually buy them anymore. I don't know why they're still selling them. They've stopped making them. So what the only thing that's available is old stock. Anyway, I just noticed that when I went to their website.
Maybe they're just trying to keep the excitement up or something. I don't know.
I like mine. Just all I'm going to say about that. What about yourself? Any new hardware in your present and or future?
The only new hardware, in fluffy air quotes, is I got a new Pyramix, which is a Rubik's Cube, but in pyramid form. It's much easier to solve. My nephew went to a competition, first competition, so he did not perform well because it was his first competition. And I think I might join him on the next competition just to see how bad I fail. I'm sure I'm going to be the oldest person in the competition. I know that.
I know a couple of people.
No new Android hardware.
Who can solve the Rubik's Cube. You know, apparently there's a pattern, and once you know the pattern, it's easy. But the only way I ever did it was by taking it apart.
Yeah, the Rubik's Cube is much more difficult, and there is pattern recognition, pattern algorithms is the way that I put it. For instance, the Pyraminx, it's easy to solve one side. Once you solve one side, there's only six possible outcomes. One of those outcomes is it's already solved. So you have only five possible outcomes. Each one of those outcomes is between, I think it is, 6 and 10 moves. I think the longest one is 10 moves. So if you memorize what it looks like and those moves, there's no reason why you can't solve a Pyraminx completely mixed up in less than 30 seconds. There was a kid at the competition who did it in about 5 seconds, which was pretty impressive. The Rubik's Cube, on the other hand, once you get the one side solved, well, there's multiple techniques. I want to say it's something like 14, 15, and each thing is like 20 moves, so it's not easy. Kids were beating that. Here's the thing. There was no such thing as a two-handed Rubik's Cube competition because that's too easy. They had one-handed Rubik's Cube competition. The fastest time I saw was 23 seconds.
Have you seen the machine that can do it in less than a second?
In a blink of an eye, it's so fast. It's crazy. I say, why not? You know, crush all humans. But yeah, I don't have any Android news. I will say there's more than a couple phones on the horizon that are getting me at least interested, but you know, nothing spectacular, especially even though I kept looking at it, the Essential Phone PH1. No, nothing about it is to me good. The modularity feature thing, it's essentially a lie. There's two dots on the phone that when you connect a device to it, all it does is give power to the device. The connectivity is still through Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. I think it was Wi-Fi. So there's nothing spectacular about that phone. I'm just looking forward for the hype to die down and for us to focus on more interesting devices. But really quick, I gotta tell you what my youngest son did. The other day I took a piece of beef. I don't even know what it was. It was wide and flat, and took the cellophane, hammered it down, cut it on the bias, boom, 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 put it in a pan, cooked it up, some soy sauce, some stir fry sauce, boom, 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 put it on the side, peppers, onions, and then I also included baby carrots, which was freaky because I bought a can of like La Choy baby carrots. Opened the lid, they were put in there like Vienna sausages. Okay, because I figured they would be smaller. They were literally like 4 inches long, so I just threw them in the pan, cooked them up. My son, I gave him a piece of the meat, and he was like, "Dad, that is absolutely delicious." And I said, "Well, this is what it is." And he just looked at it, and he said, "Ugh." And he said, "What is that?" And he pointed. I said, "What's what?" And then went and touched the piece of corn. "What is that right there?" I said, "Oh, that's baby corn." And he just like methodically turned his head towards me with his eyes wide open. And then he threw his hands up over his head, shaking his hands over his head, ran out of the kitchen screaming, "Dad's eating babies." And he was technically right. Well, but
actually, it's a hybrid. Yeah. It's not really baby. So maybe that'll make him feel better.
Well, no, because he already freaked out. And when he went to school and daycare today, the daycare person asked me, "Your son said you were eating babies." Not really, but okay. So I had to explain that part. And that's essentially my kid in a nutshell. He's one of a kind. I'll say that.
It's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Probably couldn't handle more than one.
No, I'm like cut. I'm snipped. I'm calling a timeout because it can be undone. But right now we in a never ending holding pattern of no more.
And with that bit of way too much information, do you have any Android apps you'd like to talk about tonight? You know what?
Well, first off,
I was just thinking, it's just the two of us. Why don't we do like rapid fire, do like five, and we'll discuss anything that comes up out of those five. So sort of like a dual empty the tank thing. Wait, let's try something new.
Okay. Oh, man, I just dragged the tab completely wrong and went to a completely new window. That's not good. Okay, the first one I'm going to bring out, just because it's different, it's called WRIO. Rio, I'm guessing. Rio keyboard, 2500 plus emoji, unfortunately 99 cents. They claim super fast error-free typing. Whenever you have a human involved, I can't see how it's error-free. There's a lot about this keyboard I liked. Unfortunately, it takes up more space than a normal keyboard. All the keys are hexagon, but it is the same QWERTY layout, just a little bit shifted. I can see how this keyboard is easy. I can see how this keyboard is fast. I can see how it would take days to get good at this keyboard. It has a lot of unique, I'll say not unique, a lot of easy functionality, like swiping to the left deletes stuff, sweeping to the right undoes the delete of the stuff. Hit a key, go up, and it's capitalized letters. There's two space buttons. The problem with this keyboard is there's no swiping of the keyboard. It's just tapping your thumbs. So I could not live with this for more than a couple minutes before I said, okay, I'm done. I'm tapping out. I'm not going to do that one.
So WRIO, W-R-I-O, stands for write it once. So there's that.
Gotcha.
I'm so okay, into swiping right now. I'm with you. I don't know that I could not swipe.
Yeah, it's like that's my thing. That's how I do everything. It's everything's a swipe. I don't know why, but this browser now will not let me switch tabs whatsoever. That's not good.
So while you're working with that, I'll continue to talk about this keyboard that's only mildly interesting. It's got lots of emoji.
Yeah, I'm going to try to relaunch, see what happens. And hopefully it brings back all my tabs. It would be really nice if the Brave browser, the one that's supposedly more private and built-in ad blocking, will do a good job. And hopefully while I'm reloading it, it won't completely suck down all the bandwidth I have.
So,
okay,
this is just for the people watching on video, but while we're talking about hardware, I have this beautiful piece of hardware courtesy of my company. It's the finest technology that 1997 has to offer. I don't know why corporations are still on the flip phone, but
flip phone.
They are. For some reason, I see guys on call, tech guys, and I know, you're on call with your company. You have a flip phone. Did you know, Dor, you can send text-based messages with this thing? You don't have to call people anymore. You can actually send words over the phone system.
And like what, like a half a megapixel camera in it, maybe?
It's still the kind of typing where you have to hit a 22233.
Yeah. T9, I believe it's called, typing.
All right. Did I vamp long enough for you to get your stuff back?
At least to get mostly done. This next app I'm going to bring, I classify this as customized widget collection. And again, I'm going to guess this is pronounced Huck Quick.
Widget. Quidget. Oh, man. Huck Quidget.
Huck Quidget. H-U-K space K-W-G-T. This one was completely free. What this basically is, it is, think of it as widgets extremely stylized. All kinds of widgets, like calendaring widgets, time widgets, agenda widgets, weather widgets, music player widgets, all kinds of different widgets, but none of them look like any out-of-the-box widget I think I've ever seen before. Honestly, I really like the look of these widgets. I'm just not sure if it's the kind of thing that I would keep around, if you know what I mean.
They all appear to take up a full screen, so you have to dedicate one of your home screens to whatever this widget is. And they're artsy, and maybe even fartsy. So the calendar widget, it takes up the whole page to tell you that it's Tuesday the 30th.
Well, I'll say most of them are like 2x2 or 2x3, to where you can put other stuff on the screen, just not much. They're showing them like that, I think, so it doesn't look cluttered, even though if you use one of these, your screen's going to probably be cluttered, kind of thing. What I'm going to bring next is a GitHub-based application. I listened to a show, a podcast, I can't remember what it's called. Basically, what they do is they scour GitHub for either the most active projects or projects that seem to be new and influential kind of thing. And I'm like wondering, how do they find these guests on the show? And enter this Android app called GitHub Trending. I like this because, long story short, there's a ton of stuff that I bring up on shows that I hear people 2 weeks, 3 months, 2 years later discuss like it's new, And I'm like, I remember that. And I look at it and it was like from like 4 years ago kind of thing. So I really like being on the cusp of the newest kind of thing. What is the next thing that can hit it big, kind of thing. And honestly, I like seeing if I can pick it up earlier than other people. Thus I strike out a lot, but once in a while I do good. This was a very, very, very simple to use app that basically shows you, who has the most, I believe it is on GitHub, it's stars. That's like, how many active contributors you have, how many commits do you have, how many people do you have browsing your pages and like clicking the like button. It's like a weird combination of those stats. So this was just one of those personal itch things that I thought was kind of cool.
It's got 6 reviews, but they're all 5 stars. Extremely detailed description. Good. Let me see what the GitHub community is most excited about today. See what the GitHub community is most excited about today. See what the GitHub community is most excited about today. See what the GitHub community is most excited about today. There you go. That's the description.
And it fits. It's very succinct. What I got next is something that I honestly thought was right up your alley. Now, I say that, and I know it's not, because it ain't no spreadsheet. But for smaller, less important decisions, I thought this might be right up your alley. It is called Pro Con Decision Maker. Basically, it's just an app that helps you create a pro-con list and put a weight on each one of those things. So you can have something that's a pro, that's a 3, and, you know, have a con that's a 5, and you can keep adding things, and then it helps you judge which decision has the most things and the most weight to it. Simple. The only way I can put this, very simple app built for one task, and it does it pretty good in my opinion.
I like it. I also like the disclaimer. The developer is not responsible for any decisions made upon the suggestion of the app.
Yeah,
but it's nice. I like it because often when people are trying to make a difficult decision, they have a hard time keeping in mind the things that they know are important. That's why I talk about my house buying spreadsheet. Right? It's not that we bought it by the numbers. It was the numbers were to make sure that we actually paid attention to the things we said we care about. So I like this. You just put in the things that you consider a pro and how pro it is, and then after a while, you've created a rubric of whatever it is you're trying to decide. I like it.
Right. I know I'm up to 4, but I'm going to bring 2 more, Mark. neither one of these are family friendly. I will say that ahead of time. The first one is called The Doom Beneath. Right now it's $2.49. It goes up and down in price. In my app sales app that I use to monitor apps, this thing is always going up and down, as high as $4 in the last 6 months and as low as, I want to say, 25 cents. So if this interests you at all, I highly encourage you to keep your eye on it or get an app to track it. This is very different than virtually everything I've seen on Android. Think of this as slightly animated, comic book style drawn, hand-drawn, interactive, choose-your-own-adventure horror story is the best way I can put it. This is not up my alley. I found it very interesting and almost compelling to keep moving forward and see what kind of things would happen next. It takes 37 seconds or so for it to get to the actual action part of the game in the video, where you have to make choices about what you're going to do. Do you hit somebody? Do you pick something up? Do you run, kind of thing? I really do like this just because it is completely different than anything else I've seen on Android. I really appreciate the graphical style. But again, this is Mark T for teen, and I would say this is not a low teen game. This is definitely a higher teen game.
So it's kind of a Zork-style gameplay. You know, you walk into a room, which direction do you turn? But with graphics.
I'll say slightly less fine-grained detail than Zork, and yet slightly more girthy. You know what I mean? A bigger world, if you will. And I love the graphics. I think they're fantastic. This next one is extremely not family-friendly. Even though it says Mark's T for teen, I'm not sure. I'll just say that. This is called Retro City Rampage DX. As soon as you launch the game, it gives you a disclaimer of this is a parody. Don't take any of this as being real. If that's not a warning, I don't know what is. This is essentially old school Grand Theft Auto 1 or 2 top down 8-bit graphics style gameplay where you shoot everybody around you. You can even jump on their head like Mario. Get in cars and tanks, go through town, cause chaos, complete missions, earn money. And then at least some point in the game that I clearly have not got to, it almost turns in, or at least part of it turns into like a top-down Zelda dungeon type experiences inside of buildings as well, not just on the streets. So I'm going to guess this game, if you buy it, which it does cost $2.99, has a hell of a lot of content in it, but it's also very immature type violence is what I'll say.
It reminds me graphically of Spy Hunter, the old video game where you were driving around shooting at stuff.
I will definitely go for that. And just because you didn't stop me, I'm going to throw one more out.
Right.
This is $5, unfortunately, $4.99, but this has the name behind it that might draw enough people in because it already has 23,000 reviews. For a $5 game, I personally think that's impressive. The number of downloads is between 500,000 and 1 million for a $5 game. I'll say it again. That's impressive. This is Catan.
Oh, there was nerdgasms all over the internet just then.
I know. Settlers of Catan, which is the kind of thing I look at from a distance, and I'm pretty sure I don't want to get too close to it because it seems like it will suck you in. It's an ultra-popular board game. This looks like it is officially licensed and branded because if you go to the company's website, they have more than a couple Catan-based things. And this is Catan board game on your Android device. I'll say I'm sorry if I completely, like to quote Mark on his other show, I'm sorry if I completely ruin your productivity.
So it looks like it's multiplayer turn-based, as is the game. I'm assuming that you can play against a computer adversary or against real people. And it looks like it would speed the game up. Catan is a slow-moving game in general. And just, again, from watching the video, looks like it might speed that up a little bit. I've only played Catan a couple of times. I have some friends who are way into it. I found it mildly enjoyable. But if you're into Catan, I could see this as a very true representation of it.
Yeah, and I will say, yeah, like I could picture sitting this in between people on a table. Unfortunately, you would need like a 10-plus inch tablet, I think, for really immersive type of gameplay. I do believe you could use 4 human beings or, you know, 1 human and just the rest automated characters. And I believe it would let me just pick me and the computer to play with as well. Again, I don't need to say anything more. If you're a Catan person, you probably already know about this, but $4.99, up to 1 million installs, and people seem to like it a lot.
All right. So, Dor, let's pause a moment. You've brought more paid apps tonight than normal. Actually, I guess not, just some of them. Out of curiosity, in your own app library, would you say you have the majority of your apps are paid apps or free apps? Free apps.
Because I install so much, I would guess it's honestly probably more free. But I will probably admit I have more than likely an extremely higher number of paid apps than the average fella. Because we were on the Google Opinion awards, I think before anybody else. We have people like Kevin McLaughlin once in a while giving us Google Play cards to put towards this. So I know I buy more than the average person.
I'm just scrolling through my list right now. I have a good mix of free and paid, definitely more free than paid. But the ones that I use the most, the ones that are key to me, the ones that are most important to me, I pay for. Either because they needed to be, right, that I had to pay for them to use them, or because, you know, my new mantra, pay for what you like. I've commented on it before. We have 4, 5, 6, 7, 800 dollar devices, but we're hesitant to spend $1 on an app for that device. It's an odd sort of psychological thing. Somewhere along the line, we just expected that both entertainment and productivity should be free on the phone. On the PC, nobody really blinks about paying for software. You need a game, you pay for it. You need Office, you pay for it. You need, you know, I mean, you're old enough, and so am I, Dor, to remember paying for a web browser. And that model, it was just introduced with that model, and that's just the way it was. And I just wonder, you know, for discussion's sake, where do you think we made that shift from free to pay? My old Palm Pilot days, almost all the apps were paid, right? But at some point along the line, we just all began to expect that everything should be free on a phone.
I honestly don't think you want me to really answer this question.
Okay. So because what's your next app?
Well, I'll say because I don't think it's politically correct. I think two things I can identify in my personal perspective in history and life, Napster and Wares, Warez, were the two things that let people know you don't necessarily have to pay for anything. After that, doing computer repair, a huge number of people did not want to pay for Microsoft Office. Right. And really, I think that was just because of the extreme price. But it seems like the younger the people are, the more they just don't comprehend that you pay for stuff. Don't you just click download and just click it run kind of thing? On the mobile phone, I think because when the App Store was young, new, people were then encouraged, I think, to not charge money just to try to get traction. It's that modern mentality of, well, if we get enough eyeballs, we're going to be worth money, instead of if I make something good, people will buy it kind of money.
Yeah, I think somewhere along the way, and my maybe our generation, maybe the one after us, I'm not really sure, it just became expected that everything was free. And, you know, definitely Napster, right? People went from buying CDs and cassettes to just downloading huge, vast, 1,000-plus song libraries of free music and not thinking anything about it. Can we reverse that trend? Is it possible to go back to understanding that somebody's work is worth money?
I want to say inevitably, yes, we have to. But unfortunately, I think it's going to take well-crafted, well-scripted, well-executed corporations to figure out how to get their hooks into people. There's going to have to be something unique, very unique that they offer that is clearly over 100% times better than anything else for people to buy into that ecosystem. And unfortunately, right now, all cell phones are becoming more and more exactly like the next one. There's a lot less standout than there was 2 or 3 years ago, which I think is going exactly in the opposite direction of what we need for things to cost money. The only way I see it changing quickly is literally if there's some titanic-like shift, and dare I say, away from Android. Because I think people have that expectation now. You know, there's so many free things on the market. Why should I pay? I'll just watch an ad or two. My time isn't that valuable.
Right.
Where to me, I'm the exact opposite. I see an ad, I go blitzkrieg figuring out if I can find a way to pay for this damn thing.
And so many times now, I don't have a whole lot of experience in the Apple App Store, but in the Google Play Store, there's not an option to not have the ads. Right? You just can't pay money to make the ads go away. Ads are just sort of the expectation of developers, not just consumers.
Well, so far, Google had Google Contributor, it was called, where you could pay either $5 or $10 a month, and a percentage of your ads would be replaced with either nothing or with like pictures of cats or whatever. They stopped doing that about a month ago. They announced a new thing that's different. Supposedly in the Chrome browser in 1 or 2 months or something, they're going to block what they call distasteful ads and only allow tasteful ads to come through. And I do believe there is a way you can get even less ads in the system. If Google would offer a subscription through Google Play to where you can pick 5 or 10 apps, because we know most people don't have a lot of apps on their phone. If you could pick 5 or 10 apps and have them completely ad-free and pay $2 or $3 a month, that might actually get people to cough up some change, but it's still not the right way to do it. It's just one way to do it.
I think, you know, the ads aren't necessarily the problem. It's the expectation of the all-you-can-eat model. And things like Netflix and Spotify aren't helping. You pay, I don't even know what it is for Spotify, $8 a month for the subscription, something like that. Netflix, it's $9. And you have this vast library of high-quality media for a couple of bucks. It's the all-you-can-eat buffet model. And you know, Taylor Swift made this argument a few years ago when she pulled all her stuff off of Spotify. She said, you know, my music, my work, my effort is worth money, and I'm only getting a pittance for this. If you want my stuff, you got to pay for it. You know, the Netflixes of the world, they only get stuff that has already made its money. Like, you know, right now, whatever, Beauty and the Beast, say, has been out of stores for, out of theaters for a while. They've made their money on it. Now, Netflix is a secondary market for them. Netflix is trying to capitalize by creating their own media, getting subscriptions, and just sort of being the HBO. But again, the whole idea is there's a service that I pay, and I get all the free stuff I want. Maybe Google should follow that model and say, a $5 a month subscription, all the apps you buy are ad-free.
I have to believe there would be enough people to jump on it to make it worth their while. I have to believe that. Only because, you know, we see the best and the worst of these apps. Mm-hmm. And we've seen some horrible ads in some of these apps where it's full screen audio, video that just you can't get past. And the only way to get out of it is to hit home.
Right. Yeah, your phone's muted. It overrides the mute and blares stuff out. And it's that competition for attention. I wonder if the world might be a better place if we could, again, pay for what we like, find some sort of, instead of the third-party model, which is ads, commercials on television, go with more the subscriber model, the HBO, the Netflix model. And I kind of think that the world might be a better place if we could do that. And I got to think that the revenues coming from something like that would be roughly the same as the guy who accidentally clicks on an app, ad in your app, you know?
And depending on the people's usage would bring in more money per, processor cycle on their end kind of thing.
Makes sense for me.
Because to get money, if I'm an app developer, for me to get any amount of actual money, like more than $100 a month, I need thousands of people to use my app and pretty consistently to use my app to get any money whatsoever. So it's literally pennies they get. I'll say this. I firmly believe one of the ways that it could be done is some kind of marketing thing where people actually start to understand if you don't pay for something, you are the product. You are what is being sold. Your eyeballs, your time. And everyone, I mean, it's an old adage, Mark. Everybody knows time is money. Yet for some reason, they don't connect the dots to me sitting through this 30-second ad is literally costing me money. Because it is.
Well, I think that's an age thing. When you're young, you have no money and lots of time. When you get older, you have more time and less more money and less time. I think maybe you're recognizing that because, you know, you're a graybeard now. You have some money and your time is more valuable. When you're 12, you got nothing but time and no money.
Yeah, I mean, my son, the amount of time he has is sickening. And starting after tomorrow, it's going to be even more sickening because school ends. It's going to be, dare I say, I think he's going to be bored more than anything.
Right.
But thanks to YouTube, he won't be as bored as we ever were.
All right, so discussion time over. Listener audience, what do you think? Send us an email at aaa@podnuts.com. Let us know what you think. I'm curious. I know the show is called Android App Addicts, but we can discuss things too. And I'm curious as to what you think. And you know, one way that you could let us know what you think, and is a way that people seldom do, is you can send us a voicemail by calling our Google Voice hotline. As our listener friend, whose name just flew right out of my head, Todd did. So Dor's going to play that now.
Hey guys, Todd Evans here. Just listening to episode 469, and I heard you say, Dor, that you haven't had a voicemail in months. I called about a month ago, maybe, and left a voicemail, and I mentioned that Steve C is still the voicemail greeter. I suppose that's appropriate. Kind of nice to hear his voice. So anyway, I just wanted to say, good job, guys. Keep up the work. And I always appreciate getting my Patreon notices of my early release, and I just encourage all the other listeners to go to patreon.com and throw these guys just a few bucks. You know, it's worth it. They work hard, they're dedicated, they're fun to listen to, and you get some good content. So give some coin to them. It's not that much. A cup of coffee or two a month, you know. Anyway, on my way back from Columbus, Ohio to Cincinnati, Ohio, in my truck on my new Bluetooth headset that sounds really good from what I've heard. I can't tell. It's noisy, but I guess you don't hear the noise. And Dork, next time there's an OLF, I don't know, I don't recall where you said they were, but if it's near Cincinnati, I'm pretty close to there, you're more than welcome to stay at my place. So, anyway, take care, guys. Have a good one. Appreciate all your shows.
Well, thank you, Todd, for that contribution and for that reminder to our audience to, if you enjoy what we do, you get value out of it. There's a really simple way to show appreciation of that, and that's over at patreon.com/androidappaddicts. Give Dork a couple of bucks.
Yeah, and he did send a voicemail. I don't know how I missed it, and I'm guessing I didn't send it to you and Eric because you guys didn't say anything to me about it either. I'll say it was a government conspiracy and NSA hacked my email account and then printed it out on paper with the yellow dots on it. I don't know.
It was the Russians, clearly.
Yeah. Ohio Linux Fest is in Columbus, Ohio. This year it is September, I believe, 28th. And I already have my room booked. I don't think I'm going to give a talk. I haven't submitted anything yet, partially because I don't know what the hell to talk about. So I'll tell you, Todd, if you come up to Columbus, Ohio, I'll happily buy you a meal. We can sit down and BS. For some reason, I swore Todd was from the Great Northwest. And the only reason I think that is because to me, he has the personality from what I can see in email and text of just one of those. Everybody I met in the Northwest was unbelievably nice, virtually nice to a fault kind of thing. Almost like a Saturday Night Live character, like halfway between a Canadian who stereotypically always says sorry, and like a deep southern person where, you know, holds the door open for you kind of thing. So I don't know why. So you're by Cincinnati. I'm sorry for your sports teams, Todd, I'll say publicly, but you have other things going for you. I just don't know what they are. I have no idea about Cincinnati. But if you come to Columbus, Ohio, September 28th, I'm going to probably be there 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th. I'm pretty sure that's the agenda, and it's going to be a good time.
And in the overachiever category, Todd is also our only email of the week, and he brings an app that he tells us about. And he says, hey, guys, just wanted to share a really simple but useful app that I've been using for a couple of years. I'm really surprised I haven't already shared it. I checked the spreadsheet, and it's not listed. On a side note, Google Sheets asked me if I want to translate the spreadsheet from Maltese. Go figure. Anywho, Polite is a neat little app that silences your phone based on keywords of your choice from your calendar. For example, if you pick Doctor, D-R, or Doctor, the word, D-O-C-T-O-R, any appointments listed in your calendar with these words will trigger the app. It will then silence your phone for the duration of the calendar event. You can also tweak the settings to have the silence begin a specified time before or continue beyond the calendar event for your specified time. You can have a keyword be a title, an event, or a combination of both. Choosing the specific calendar all calendars option as well. Very simple, but very useful. No need to remember to silence your phone at the doctor or in your meeting. Just happens that you don't need to think about it. Life simplified. Keep up the great shows. And as always, to my fellow listeners, be sure to visit patreon.com and throw these guys some coin. They deserve it for all their hard work and dedication.
Very cool. First off, I'll say genius naming of the app. To me, that's just perfect. Polite. You don't want to call it silencer because, you know, that kind of harkens back like a gun. So I just think Polite is maybe the best way to name this app. I'll say there's more than a couple apps on the market that we know because Mark has his baby that does this automatic modification to your notifications based upon calendaring type events, but you can also make up its own independent schedule, so you don't need a calendaring event. Very good find, Todd.
I like it. Needs the word movie there. It just needs to. I need a geolocation service that anytime you're near a movie theater, automatically silences your phone.
That's a good idea. And I will say one notable thing about this app is it is truly open source. If you search, just search GitHub for Polite, you'll see Cam Steffen is the author, and he puts all the source code up there. So there you go, Mark. This would be a good reason to learn the new Android programming language, download the source code to the app, add in a new type of event, call it a geo event, and then you have to, like, what's it called? Cage it or whatever.
Yeah.
Set the
boundary. Geofence it. Yeah.
Geofence it. Exactly.
I want to, however, forcibly install it on all phones on the planet. Can I make that happen?
You can, but I'm pretty sure that would be a federal crime.
Darn it. Probably wouldn't work on iPhones anyway.
But you can. And look on the bright side, Mark. The likelihood of actually getting caught by our police is, you know, I wouldn't say crazy high. There's always a chance.
So Todd says he's been using this app for a couple of years, but it's still less than 5,000 installs. So it's one of those hidden gems out there.
Well, yeah, and I'll say it seems almost oxymoronic that a operating system based off of open code, open apps don't seem to ever get lots of traction. And I find that almost counterintuitive to a degree and almost funny, but not ha-ha funny. But that's what one of the things I've noticed. To be truly successful and legitimate open source seems to be very difficult to do. And one quick side note, the new programming language, I always call it Catlin. I believe it's Catlin. Right now, Udemy, which is one of the more popular learning websites. It seems like virtually everybody offering training on that has dropped their price anywhere from $300 original price down to $10, or from $50 down to $10. I literally paged through their courses there, and they were all $10. If you were ever looking to pivot in the marketplace, or if you were ever looking to get ahead of other developers, which is now going to be really hard to do, but learn the latest thing right now, because the one thing about developers is they all like to find that niche and then settle in there. You don't really want to do that unless you're, you know, 70 years old. So this might be a really good programming language to learn to guarantee future employment and value to a company.
Well said, sir. All right, that brings us up to 8 apps. So to make it a nice round 10, give us your 2 best apps in your bucket for today.
Okay, one of the ones I actually liked seemed at first to be completely useless. I know. I mean, there's no better way to tease an app, I think. This is called Speech Notes. We all already have built into most of our keyboards the ability to turn on voice dictation and just start to talk our notes out. This one has built in, basically, you just open the app, you hit new note, you hit the button, and it will stay open indefinitely, where most voice dictation tools, after like 3 seconds of silence, will just turn off. And then you got to stop what you're doing, look at the phone, hit the button, and then start talking again. So it can take you out of your flow, if you will. With this one, you could literally just put it on and just talk and take as many breaks as you want, and then just keep talking some more, and it just kept working. I kept telling myself for years, one of the things I would like to do is a text blog on Podnuts, because let's be honest, SEO is first and foremost driven by ASCII characters, not MP3 files or video files. ASCII characters is text. Text is indexable. Text is searchable. Text is rankable. So I kept saying to myself, I'm going to do textual type blogs. Me, bad speller. Me, really bad speller, and bad at grammar, and bad at punctuation, and bad at all that. So I was tempted to do voice notes and then have a disclaimer, this is voice dictation, and just post it, just to have some sort of text interface there on Podnuts. And I still might do it. And if I do, this might be the app I use to get that done.
Very cool. It's a freemium model. The basics are free. If you want certain extra features, then you have to pay for them. I like that model, actually. Give us something functional, but let us know that there's more that we can pay for. Custom keys allows you to have things like a keyboard or like a signature or a custom phrase. Basically, it's a macro that you can have with one key. That's one of the premium features there. I really like the fact that it doesn't stop, because sometimes I just need to pause for a moment, even in a text, just need to pause for a moment to collect my thoughts. And my swipe plus dragon, it's got dragon built in, stops after a few seconds. And Dory, you know, we all know that you have some continuity issues from time to time. I'm sure that's very frustrating mm-hmm. for you. I really like the fact that it just keeps going forever. It would be a handy thing for college students. Take out your phone, set it on your desk during your lecture, let it take your notes for you. I like it.
Yeah. I like this a lot. And yes, especially when you communicate via text, there's ways you can say things that are better than other ways, because it's very easy to come off as rude or like not thought out statements, where if you have a second, you stop, you can think it out, it can come across much, much better. That's what I liked about this. So it is installed. I don't see it not getting, I don't see it getting uninstalled anytime soon. I just think it's pretty cool. One more I'm going to bring, completely and absolutely not family friendly. This is marked mature 17 plus. This is called Slaughter. $1.20. Yes, there's a lot of paid stuff. I don't honestly, what I believe happened, Mark, is in one of my apps, it said now free, now free, now free. I go click buy, you know, kind of thing. I click download and then they become not free. And this is one of the things, even if you don't want it right now, if you see something marked now free, go ahead and click install, then click uninstall. And then whenever you go back to it, it's still going to be free. That's one of the little tricks you can do in the Google Play Store. This is a third person shooter, on screen controls, which means it's going to take you a little bit of time to really get trained on it. I'm not going to say crazy good graphics, pretty solid graphics, pretty good graphics. The controls are not motion controls anywhere that I saw. It was all on screen keyboards, shotguns, grenades, knives, pistols, handguns. You're basically like going against crazed gangs is the way that I'll put it. Semi-realistic, because they are humans, that you are going against. So, you know, but I was shocked at how well the game played. I was very shocked at how well the game played. And it just works. I played it for at least 15, 20 minutes. Phone didn't really get hot. And it just worked.
You know what I'm noticing as I'm watching this? I hadn't really put it together before, but, there's a trope in all horror movies, genres of all kinds, and that is to make somebody creepy, let them look just a little off of normal, right? A mask that is just, you know, has one eye droopy or a crooked mouth is enough to make our lizard brains go, that's dangerous. And then as I'm watching this, it occurs to me that that's the problem that we have with almost all attempts at making humanoid robots right now, is they're just a little off, and it's the same effect as a horror character wearing a mask. Anyway, just observation.
And then there's that little bit of mystery also, because you're not really sure what's behind the mask. It could be a lot worse than, you know, and then I'll use the, example, Scarface bathroom scene. It's one of the great things in movie history that everybody thinks, not everybody, a lot of people think after watching that movie, months, years, days, or whatever, that they showed actual violence in Scarface in that bathroom scene, because we pictured it in our heads. Idea of it was firmly set in place that it was happening. You heard the sounds, you saw, I believe, the shower curtain rings or something, but that was it. But everybody believes they saw the guy with the chainsaw like hit him with it or something. The best producers of content, of the especially horror type content or thriller type content, understand the viewer can make up better things than anybody else can, because they know what affects them. So they're extra creeped out by X. And if there's any insinuation that that could be it, let them fill in the blanks. And then it's even more, you know, devastating.
All right. I haven't seen that movie, so I can't comment on it. But I do know that in all the great Greek tragedies, everything bad happens off stage.
Right.
And sometimes it's just because it's cheaper that way, but it also works better.
Yeah. To be honest, I think that's the reason why books are still as successful as they are, which is insulting to say, but because you read it, you have to paint the picture in your own head, which means it's dramatically more effective and in some ways more memorable.
Yeah, I think I mentioned it on the show. I recently started reading all the Harry Potter books because I realized that there was this huge piece of global culture that I was missing out on. So as I've been watching the books, I've been going back and watching the movies because I'm a complete Harry Potter virgin, hadn't seen any movies or read any of the books or anything. So I read the book and I see a scene in my head, and then I go watch this movie with $100 million budget and think, well, that was disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those sad facts. Our brain is much better at constructing the narrative and the settings and the environment and the dramatic aspects to it versus somebody else's, because that's how they see it. And yeah, I'm not a Harry Potter guy either. I'm always reminded it was classified as young adult novel or book for a reason.
Right.
And I'm not a young adult.
Yeah, the first couple, definitely. It gets more mature as the series goes on, as the audience grew up.
Right.
All right, so let me run down our apps for you. The Rio Keyboard by iCoaching. The Hook Widget by PicChick. GitHub Trending by Rubik Studio. Procon Decision Maker by Stefan Galler. The Doom Beneath by Robot Monster Productions. Retro City Rampage DX by V Blank Entertainment. Catan by USM. Polite by Cameron Stefan. Is that the same person that did the Procon? No, sorry. Stefan Geller and Cameron Stefan. Speech Notes, Speech to Text by Well Sourced, Empowering You. And Slaughter by Ray Spark. There you go. 10 solid apps, even without the great one among us.
He will be missed. Oh, wait, no, that was David Spade's line in Conehead, sorry.
So, Dor, any other final words of wisdom before we say goodnight for this week?
I honestly just want to take this time to thank you, Mark, for all your support you've given me over the years on the network. I want to thank Eric. I want to thank Jeff Halish. I want to thank Chris Carruthers. I want to thank Paco LeBron. I want to thank John from the Maven Group. I want to thank Cody Cooper. I want to thank Rich. Flying Rich. I want to thank Brian Thomas. I want to thank now all those names I mentioned. That's a lot of names, ain't it?
It is.
Well, I didn't even get to the show, The Makers. Now, if I could mention the brand new show on The Makers on Podnuts, which is all about 3D printing, CNCing, and IoT custom solutions, then I got to say the names Brett, Aaron, Chad, Liam, Rich, and Jonas. The show has 7 people on it, Mark. And yet, I'm not able to maintain control, but it still comes out to be a listenable show. It's a modern miracle.
So how do you get 7 people? You don't do Skype or Hangouts for that, do you? What do you use?
We use Mumble, and on the last DDG episode 6, I went through my entire software stack for podcasting. We're using Audacity right now, because it's just me and you, or just me, you, and Eric. But with that number of people, using that technique is not very appropriate, because the more people you have on the show, the more chance of catastrophic failure in power outage, LAN outage, computer crash, software crash, or genuine hardware failure, which means many shows would not be consistent. So I use Mumble, where I can record on my end and have all the files on my end, but I can do multi-track recording as well, so everyone has their own file. Here's the real kicker. I insist everyone uses a technique called push to talk, which means your mic is not even activated until you hit the button. Here's the side advantage. I instruct everybody, when you want to talk, you hit the button and you wait just a split second. Look at the screen, see if somebody else is also keyed up wanting to talk. Because if they are, take your hand off the key, let them talk, kind of thing. So it adds just a split second of delay during the live show, which actually gives people more time to think more comprehensive things to say. But because of that technique, we don't have a lot of people talking over one another. Thus, I personally feel the quality of the podcast, even though considering five of the people are essentially brand new to podcasting, I think is actually really good.
So for all you people that complain I talk over Dora and Eric, maybe we should try using Mumble from now on.
Well, and here's the best thing. You ready? In Mumble, you can set priority. So we can say as you as the host, you will have priority. So if you talk at the same time I talk, people won't hear me. They'll hear you. That's the Johnny Carson effect, if you will.
Nice.
Yeah. And I want to thank all the listeners for all the support. I don't want to say it's overwhelming. And I don't want to say that there's no way I can pay you back to all the listeners. Every single time I sit down in my studio and I record something, I try to make sure no matter what, even though I literally just got $100 donation the other day in one fell swoop, I still do everything in my power to try to give more than I get back. And to be honest, I say that's a challenge. I'm challenging the people out there. Dwayne, he basically upped the ante. Now I have to do everything in my power to try to make sure he gets $200 worth of value back.
Well, you said that you don't know how you couldn't repay us. The content you provide is the payment. People then are repaying you. It's a reciprocity thing. I don't think you feel that you should feel that you have to owe people anything, but I know you. You're going to step up and you're going to give your best every time you get behind the mic, just because you do, whether people pay you for it or not.
And I'd much rather be in the end of life and there's some formula that gets done. I would like to believe I still give more. I still want to be on the positive side of that equation. And the selfish part of it is I really do have a hell of a lot of fun doing this.
Indeed. But it is time now for the fun for this show to come to an end. So I'll say thanks everybody for hanging out with us. We'll see you next week. And remember to pay for what you like. Bye, everybody.
Hi, this is Matt, the host of the MRP Tech Podcast. I'd like to invite you to listen to all the great shows on the Podnuts Tech Podcast Network. My show is themed Everyday Tech for Everyday People. You can take a listen over at podnuts.com or by subscribing to the RSS feed and downloading them directly. We hope you're enjoying all the great content here on the network. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.